Gather Round, we're chatting about books. These recommendations for elementary readers are produced by ReadWriteThink.org, a partnership between the International Reading Association and the National Council of Teachers of English.
Welcome to episode 61 of Chatting About Books. I'm your host, Emily Manning, and this episode is delightfully gruesome. I'll be sharing some stomach-churning books with you, as well as sharing my interview with Georgia Bragg, the author of How They Croaked. Okay, I'm not going to lie, this episode was a blast to put together. The research involved getting my hands on any book that promised to be gross and gruesome, and then deciding whether or not it was gross enough to be in this episode. It was tough work. I have, thankfully, a 7-year-old at home who helped me, and many kids at school who put their 2 cents in. So the first two books are favorites on our bookshelf at home. The first one is That's Gross by Crispin Boyer, and the title pretty much says it all, and the book pretty much covers it all. There are 8 chapters covering just about every gross thing you can imagine. The fact that will stick with me forever is that if you don't close the toilet when you flush, anything that's in the toilet sprays out in microscopic drops of water. Now, that's gross. The next book from my own bookshelf is Animal Grossopedia by Melissa Stewart. Like the title indicates, this book strictly focuses on the gross habits of animals. And I'm just going to warn you, it is not a book for dinner conversation, but it is a book that your child will have his or her nose in over and over again. My favorite animal in the book is the hagfish. I'd never heard of it before, but when it's touched, it shoots out this slimy, thick cloud of mucus. And the predator inhales the mucus, and then it clogs up its gills, and the hagfish can get away. It's a great defense mechanism. And after reading about it, I had to see it for myself. So all you have to do to see it is just search YouTube for hagfish, and you can see what a gross and cool creature this is. Both of these books, That's Gross and Animal Grossopedia, are filled with vivid photographs, and the layout is perfect for elementary readers. Another book that is perfect for elementary readers and perfect for October and perfect for science is Rotten Pumpkin, A Rotten Tale in 15 Voices by David M. Schwartz. And the photographs are by Dwight Kuhn. Now, all kids know what happens to a pumpkin to turn it into a jack-o'-lantern, but what happens once Halloween is over? This nonfiction book tells you all the sordid details. Kids will see through a series of detailed photographs how the pumpkin slowly decomposes over time. And the author leaves out nothing. He shows all the different animals that eat the pumpkin. He shows all the different kinds of fungus and bacteria that grow on the pumpkin until it's finally decomposed back into the soil. It is totally gross, but totally great. The next two gruesome books are for older elementary and early middle school readers. The first is Nathan Hale's Hazardous Tales, Donner Dinner Party by Nathan Hale. This book is part of a graphic novel series for middle grade readers. In this particular book, Nathan Hale, the author and the traitor, you've got to read the book for that sentence to make sense, tell the story of the terrible, ill-fated wagon train trip that turned normal, healthy people into cannibals, desperate to make it to California and desperate to survive. Nathan Hale takes a story that is definitely gruesome, but handles it appropriately for the age. There's plenty of comic relief and a chance to skip over the cannibal part. Although, let's be honest, that's the part that kids are really reading to get to. I absolutely loved this book. It made me laugh, it made me cringe, and I learned facts about the Donner Dinner Party that I never knew. Like, there was somebody that actually died by overeating. How could that possibly happen? Read to find out. Now, the last book in our episode is also our featured book and author, How They Croaked, The Awful Ends of the Awfully Famous by Georgia Bragg. When you open the book flap, Georgia warns, if you don't have the guts for gore, do not read this book. And she's right. This book is disgusting. Even though you'll be cringing all the way through it, you can't turn away. It's like a car wreck. You have to keep looking. Georgia Bragg's fun, tongue-in-cheek style reveals the details about the deaths of famous people like Marie Antoinette, Charles Dickens, and Christopher Columbus. Each chapter tells the story of a famous person and how they died, and her chapters are ordered in chronological order. This book is not for the faint of heart, but it is great for bribes. There was one week that my son was having a particularly hard time following directions at school, and I told him if he had a good day, I would read him the grossest chapter I have ever read in my life. And believe it or not, that was enough incentive for him to have a fabulous day at school. So now listen in as Georgia Bragg talks about which story really grossed her out, which just happens to be the same one I bribed my son with. Really, it's totally disgusting. And how she even came up with the idea to write such a gruesome book.
In this episode, I am chatting with Georgia Bragg. Welcome to Chatting About Books.
Ah, well, thank you for having me.
How did you come up with the idea for your book, How They Croaked?
Well, it was kind of easy because my kids gave me the idea. You know, I was a carpool mom, and they would ignore me on a regular basis most of the time. And I'd overhear their conversations about what they were studying in school. And it always got to the point where if they were studying somebody historical, a historical person, they'd ask me, is he dead yet? And I'd always say, well, yeah, history is about a bunch of dead people. So, yes, he's dead. Well, how did he die? And I never knew the answer. So I, on a whim, I just decided to look up George Washington, and I told the kids to buckle up. I've got this story to tell them about George Washington and what they did to him, and how he could have been cured today if only antibiotics were around. So I went from invisible carpool mom to, the favorite one. So, and they were begging me for more stories. So I said, I've got to write this book. I can't even believe there's not that book out there already. So I wrote that book.
How did you decide which people would make it into the book?
Well, you know, the beauty of this book is that everybody who's lived before now was a candidate. So I had quite a wide range of people to choose from. So I had to first think about the age, who my audience was. So I got rid of any sexually transmitted diseases because I didn't think I wanted to tell that story. So that cut out like a lot of names, some really good names, but I had to get rid of that. And then I didn't want to have any suicide in there, even though there is Cleopatra, but hers was just so good and so long ago, I just couldn't leave it out. So, and then once we started to pick and choose a few really good stories where there's good resource material, then we would fill in spaces where so all the stories weren't the same kind of medicine. So, and then tried to make it as worldwide as possible.
Of all the people you wrote about, whose death story most fascinates you?
Well, I'd have to say I think Beethoven. Here we have this genius musician, and there was just something about how painful his life was, besides being deaf, and he ended up having lead poisoning and a lot of other issues. And when he got older, he got a condition called dropsy, where every part in your body sort of swells up with fluid that should be getting out, but it was stuck inside his body. So he was growing bigger and bigger and bigger with this toxic fluid. So his doctors said, well, let's just drain him. Let's drain it out of there. So they drilled a hole in his stomach. This was before, you know, painkillers and things, and he's wide awake. And they drilled a hole in his stomach and stuck a hose in it and took out, I think it was 40 cups of gunk out of his body through this hole. They did this three times, maybe. Of course, that hole got infected. Meanwhile, he's writing, you know, some great symphony or something, which is remarkable. And they kept going back and doing it. That hole got infected, and they said, well, okay, let's just sweat that liquid out of him. So they put him in a big tub with jugs of hot, hot water, and they covered him with a sheet, and they said, we'll keep him in there, and we'll take him out, and he'll have sweated it all out. Well, they did that for a couple hours, and they took the sheet off, and he had absorbed all the moisture instead of sweated it out. So he just grew and grew and grew. And so he had a very painful and awful death, and he was well-loved in his lifetime. and still well loved now. So his story really broke my heart.
Okay, that was the exact story that I bribed my son with. That was good in school so he could hear
it. I totally
that.
Get that. Absolutely get that. That was so gross, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. Disgusting.
Yeah, and I think it's just kind of amazing when you attach a name to a medical treatment. It just, the whole thing just comes, I guess it's like Mad Libs, like I was saying. It's just like the whole thing just comes alive in a different way. So, yeah, it makes both characters illuminate in some way.
After hearing that story, for sure, very fortunate to live in times that that we do. In your research, what did you find most striking about medicine from the past versus medicine today?
Oh, I think the most striking thing is just how painful it was for everybody. And, you know, there was no, they would cut off limbs with no anesthesia, and just how, and how they assumed they knew a lot, but they hardly knew anything. They couldn't look inside. You broke an arm and it's possible you would be dead. I mean, so I do, I just think the brutality of it and the shocking things they did with the amount of lack of knowledge they had is, it's just like I shake my head thinking about it. And so we are lucky today, aren't we?
Yes.
All the stuff we have, we can go, you can go to the mall and get a body scan. Oh, what's that? You know, like while you're buying a t-shirt. So, yeah, I think that's it, is the pain and suffering of these remarkable people.
It was really like they were just guessing. I mean, I guess they were trying to figure out what it was that would cure different things.
Yeah. Well, they were guessing. They were absolutely guessing. But then they also locked into a procedure, whether it was bleeding and leaching and all those kind of things, where let's just drain everything out of their body or make them throw up and poop. And, you know, they stuck with that even though it wasn't working. It's like cures that don't work. That was it. You know, those things, they just didn't really make anybody feel better. So it's amazing they stuck with them for centuries and centuries.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of Chatting About Books.
I was so happy to be invited. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we've reached the end of episode 61. Thanks for listening. In this episode, Delightfully Gruesome, I chatted about books that are, well, just plain gross. They were That's Gross by Crispin Boyer, Animal Grossopedia by Melissa Stewart, Rotten Pumpkin, A Rotten Tale and 15 Voices by David M. Schwartz, and the photographs are by Dwight Kuhn, Nathan Hale's Hazardous Tales, The Donner Dinner Party by Nathan Hale, and How They Croaked, The Awful Ends of the Awfully Famous by Georgia Bragg. To see the show notes to this episode or to listen to past episodes, go to www.readwritethink.org/chattingaboutbooks, or you can subscribe through iTunes. You can also now follow Chatting About Books on Twitter at EmilyManning1. I'd love to hear what books you've been reading. Well, we are done chatting about books. Get on out there and read.
More episodes of Chatting About Books and our teen book podcast text messages are available at www.readwritethink.org. Chatting About Books, recommendations for elementary readers, is supported by the Verizon Foundation through Verizon Thinkfinity and produced monthly by the International Reading Association and the National Council of Teachers of English. The opinions reflected in this podcast are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the supporting organizations. Music in this podcast is provided by freeplaymusic.com. Thanks for listening. Let's chat again soon.